Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Wednesday. Today is June 3rd, 2015. I'm Michelle Pache, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So now, let's welcome Michael in support of developing our inner process of Aramaic forgiveness. Michael?
With Paul?
Hi, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. My earphone button or plug wasn't in quite far enough into my phone, so my apology. I was just asking how you're doing today.
Oh, I'm doing great. Working out all my details to travel to see you this weekend.
It's a long drive from Michigan to North Carolina. It'll be fun to see you.
Yeah, it's only 10 hours, Michael. That's nothing.
Oh, well, that's nothing. There you go. Well, I'm holding the space that the Saturday workshop will come together. We've got a fairly small group here in Asheville, although we've had two awesome evenings. And thank you, Dr. Tim, if you're there for taking the show yesterday. We just had so much stacking up with doing the video and connecting with people. There's so much going on here. We've added an extra workshop that'll happen on Sunday here. I will be doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Again, in Flat Rock, about 40 minutes from Asheville. I don't know if you're going to stay over to do that, Michelle, but it'd be fun to have you down there. There's a place called the Namaste Center that's focused on A Course in Miracles. And so we'll be doing their Sunday lesson and then stepping into Why Is This Happening to Me Again? So we're delighted and honored for everyone who chooses to join us every day to have made that choice. We're glad that you're here. Our work is the work of learning and understanding. And maybe there's you could mute somebody there. There's a noise that's coming through every few seconds there, Michelle, that not sure where it's coming from. But we're honored and delighted, and the work that we're here to do is the work, as Michelle said earlier, of first century Aramaic forgiveness. Forgiveness being the act of removing from your mind. And, you know, we say this over and over and over again, and it's interesting to me because we'll have people who've listened to the show for a long time or done this work for a long time, and they'll still come out with the words, but I forgave them. Or, do I have to forgive them? Should I forgive them? Should I forgive myself? And we answer to all of those questions, no, please never forgive anyone. Please never forgive yourself. Because forgiveness isn't about what the Greeks taught us it's about. You know, I appreciate the fact that Vladimir Lenin gave us a clue. He said, here's how you destroy a culture. You change the meaning of his words. And so here we are. One of the key words in the whole history of the healing of mankind has been turned backward. And you and I have been taught that forgiveness is about, and I was speaking to actually the rector of a church. We're actually staying in an apartment building that belongs to a church here, a fairly large Episcopal church. They invited us to stay as we were looking for a place to stay in Nashville. And I was speaking with him yesterday, and when I spoke about the fact that the mind has been taught a backward idea of forgiveness, and that forgiveness is an internal process, his eyes literally almost popped out of his head. I mean, literally, his eyebrows raised at least a half an inch, and his eyes got really wide, and it was just like, what a shocker. And then just kind of went back to a nice conversation, but I'm finished listening here. And one of the quotes that I came across in A Course in Miracles today, I was getting ready for our lesson tonight. We're going to do What is the World here in Asheville. If anybody's in this area, you'd be welcome to come and join us. But one of the key thoughts that I came across in the course this morning was that of, you fear the destruction of your thought system. Probably one of the biggest challenges to taking on and truly living as a human being is the fear of the destruction of one's own thought system. If you hold a newborn child, you know what human life is. It is this awesome active presence of love, and yet the world has taught you a thought system that teaches that hate and fear and anger and weakness and all those things that we do by error are human weaknesses. And that thought system is so precious to the world that it makes us insane. The truth about humans is that you and I are, we started out as and forever will remain the active presence of love. Our minds and our bodies may do something different, our so-called bodies may do something different. But the truth is, that can't be touched, will never be touched, we will be that for eternity. And all of the thought systems of the world that say otherwise are a lie. Now, if you give up the thought system in the world, then you have to do some challenging things, like you have to recognize that Saddam Hussein was love. Adolf Hitler was love. Benito Mussolini was love. Happened. Do you ever see any of the characteristics that those people are criticized for expressing in yourself? Rage, abuse, the willingness to destroy? I've watched some of the sweetest people in the world, when the stress is up and the chips are down, get into the foulest language, the most intense rage you could ever imagine. I think it would match Hitler, Mussolini, and Hussein. Now, the average person hasn't gone to the extremes of destruction that those individuals have, but I've seen so many individuals, I mean, people that you would look at and say, oh, they are so sweet. I mean, they're just, you know, the syrup drips out of their mouths. When the stress is up and the chips are down, they utter the most profound profanities and the most vicious words and energies that you can imagine. And so when we look out into the world, the world's thought system says that we are that insanity, that viciousness, that trauma, that pain. And we are here to threaten that thought system in you. We are here to threaten the thought system, your former spouse is something other than love. We're here to threaten the thought system that the person you look at in the mirror is something other than love. We're here to threaten the thought system that the person that you call enemy is something other than love. Now, have we all done those kinds of crazy things? Absolutely. But that doesn't make it who we are. We've engaged in something. You know, a television set broadcasts a film and a picture of murders. But that doesn't make the television set a murderer. we play through those thought systems of murder, of rage, of guilt, of grief. And sometimes the murder might only be with our eyes or with our tongues, but it's no less murderous. And we're here to threaten that thought system. And we're here to support you and to teach you how to dismantle. And, of course, to learn for ourselves how to dismantle that thought system that is insane, that does not match human life. And as you begin to take apart that thought system, everything starts to shift. How big a piece of work is it to dismantle that? It is huge. It is monumental. Why? Well, when you recognize the ancient Aramaic, and it spoke of, quote-unquote, the sins, and remember the word sin is an archery term in Aramaic. It means off the mark. When I engage in an energy that doesn't belong, I'm off the mark, and that's sin. Does that make me one of those? No. But have I been off the mark? Yes. When you realize this statement that says the sins of the fathers have passed ye into 3 and 4 generations, then you realize that everything you engage in, and they're proving this now in the cell biologist laboratory and medical research, that every energy, every thought, every feeling that goes into the structure of any creature is stored holographically in every cell in that structure and is passed on for future generations. Look at the research today. We've now got, you know, science, so-called science, discovering things that have been known for thousands of years, but poo-pooed by those who didn't want to hear it. So now here comes science saying our thoughts, our feelings, the effect of things like malnourishment is passed on for generations and generations and generations. Now, if you listen to that thought of 3 to 4 generations, and you go back 4 generations, where did the 4th generation get their thoughts, their feelings, their grief, their rage, their pain, but from the previous 4? Who got it from the previous 4? Who got it from the previous 4? Literally, what we're talking about is cleaning up all of the inclinations that come from your carbon-based memory system or your genetic structure. And you do that through the act of forgiveness. And forgiveness has nothing to do with, I let you off the hook for what's going on inside of me. Forgiveness is how I remove what never belonged in me. And recognizing that the whole game changes when you start to do that. How deep is the work required to do this task? I spoke to a young man this morning who's a healer and has done a lot of good work in the world. And he ended up getting involved in a product that wasn't honest, and he ended up going to jail over it. And he's just coming out of that system at this moment. And coming out of that system, he's going through such extreme abuse. And here's a young man who, when I've seen him in the past, has been caring and gentle and respectful. And when I went into a conversation with him, he was just in such rage. And his languaging was that his rage was about the abuse he was receiving at the hands of the government and the prison system for something that, you know, in his mind, he didn't really do. He got involved in a product that had an advertising campaign that wasn't honest, and he didn't know it, and so he ended up paying a price. But as we were able to speak, when I started to talk about forgiveness, he just raged back at me. Yeah, you're sitting there on your high horse. You're not here in this halfway house where they control you and every step you take, and you have to have permission to go outside and work in the garden or anything else. It's like, well, you're right. I haven't had that experience, but here's what I know. Your rage isn't about that. Your rage is about your rage. And so about 20-30 minutes into the conversation, it's finally, yeah, I got it. I remember. I just, you know, I've gotten lost in it. How easy is it to get lost in these generations when you realize how far back these insanities go? You know, in 30 generations, get your calculator out and multiply how many people there are in 30 generations. The number is 1,073,741 people in your bloodline in 30 generations. What is it that this man Yeshua is suggesting that you clean up when you enter into the work of forgiveness. And how intense is it going to get? You know, you look at Job's process, and Job says in the middle of his process, and to me this is an indicator of how intense it gets. Job says, God, just give me time to swallow my saliva. I need an intermission here. The process can become very intense as you heal, as you face what never belonged in you. And so the reason we're here 5 days a week is to support you. And in supporting you, we get to support ourselves, and we get to learn on deeper and deeper levels what this process of forgiveness means. And to watch each person in that state of extreme pain and turmoil be able to let loose of that pain and turmoil and move to the other side is just the most awesome, awesome experience. And so I'm blessed to get to do what I do, and I bet Dr. Tim probably feels the same if we said hello to him. And how do you be today, sir?
I'm doing very well. I do feel blessed to be on this team and to be able to have these tools. I was just sharing the tools for the first time with a 22-year-old, and that's exciting to get to introduce this to younger and younger people who have many fewer years of the negative conditioning of the culture
right.
to undo. So that's a blessing, and we had our support group last night, and we watched the second half of Down the Rabbit Hole, What the Bleep. And again,
What did that stir up?
Well, for me it was lovely because, of course, I'm still building brain cells at different levels, but I also got to introduce to people the idea that when they're talking about nerves firing in the brain, you know, in your previous lectures we've heard you talk about when two files fire at the same time in the brain, they become linked, and they're forever linked. And then whenever one of them fires, somewhere in the conscious, subconscious, or unconscious, the other file is already vibrating. It's already going off. And
right.
it's offering up information and energy which can, if it's unconscious and if it's strong enough, affect the behavior.
Yes.
And in the movie, they talk about individual brain cells, and when two or more brain cells fire at the same time, they become associated. And if they keep mm-hmm. firing at the same time, that association strengthens until it becomes a habit. And now there's a neural net that goes off any time any one of them fires, and that can become such a strong pattern or habit because of the strength of the association in the nerves that it triggers a cascade of reactions internally in the brain and throughout the body every time one of those nerves fires. And they're also showing, because of the effects of neuroplasticity, which just means the ability for the brain to change, to be flexible, that if we break the pattern of association, it weakens that association and it can fall away. And literally they've watched nerve cells break out of that neural net and quit firing at that same time. And I was able to talk to the group about how that's exactly what's happening every time we do a worksheet. And we
Yay.
Start by thinking, here's this person, and I know what they did. I saw it. I felt it. I heard what they said. I felt the anger in me. I know they caused it. And I map out my thoughts, my feelings, what happened, who the trigger was, my goal, my punishment thought, and then I breathe and I hold the presence of love and I ask to be shown the real source of my negative emotion. And at the end of the worksheet, I'm still thinking about that same person. I'm still thinking about those same events, but it looks very different. And I feel differently inside, and I've literally, with each successful worksheet, weakened the neural net associations that used to get triggered on an automatic basis every time somebody violated a goal I held for them. So it was lovely. And then after that, we had somebody do a worksheet, which was, you know, I believe quite powerful. I think it resonated with a number of other people in the group. It had to do with somebody not respecting personal boundaries and decisions and not respecting the person. And then the person who was doing the worksheet had the emotion of guilt because, you know, she wanted to hold a boundary in a relationship and the other person kept pushing for her to, you know, ignore that boundary or cross the boundary or go back into old behaviors. And she was feeling guilty that she was causing upset for the other person. Of course, that's the kind of an issue that ripples around the room. Practically everybody in the room has had a relationship at one point or another in time where it didn't go quite right, the goals weren't getting met, there was a sense of frustration, guilt, fear, sadness, etc. So it was lovely. It was a lovely experience, as each of those groups are.
Awesome. Yeah, the whole idea of people supporting each other and opening these internal spaces, you know, when I'm shining my own light into the darkness of my own mind, it's kind of like there's this struggle between light and darkness. But when I can get 2 or 3 or 10 or 20 people standing there holding that light for me, it's so much easier for those neural nets to be broken down, to be dissociated, and to cut them apart than doing it on my own. That the power of just doing a worksheet with all that support, I know that oftentimes we'll be in a room and somebody's in their loneliness and their aloneness, and my family was never there for me, and nobody's ever there for me. And I'll stop and say, would you open your eyes and just take a breath and take a look around the room? And look at how many shining faces, loving faces are there spraying literally the energy of love on you and supporting you. And that always just makes such a sweet difference in the process. And, you know, one of the games of the non-being mind is to get stuck in this state of aloneness. Oh, you know, I'm all by myself and nothing will ever save me. So it's definitely powerful when a group comes together like that.
Well, we had a testimonial in the group last night from a woman who said that when she does her worksheets in the group, when she does one out loud in the group, she feels mm-hmm. like she did a research paper and she got an A+ on it. And when she does cool. them at home, she feels like she just kind of breezes through them and doesn't care, and you know, it's like getting her paper back at the end of the, you know, the teacher looking at it, and she looks at it, and it's full of red marks and errors and a low grade. And so her testimonial was exactly echoing what you were saying. When she does worksheets out loud in the group, she feels like it's many, many times more powerful and effective than when she does them at home.
Yeah, nothing like a little support from our friends, for sure. Well, let's check in with Michelle and see if there's anything happening in the chat room for us to be aware of, or anybody with a phone up in the hand, or a hand up in the phone queue, a phone up in the hand queue. Okay. Well, if your hand is up, let's hear about it. Our calling number is 646-200-4169. We'd be delighted to hear your voice. Michelle?
All right. The chat room is busy chatting about the Bleep movie. Actually, I had talked about that in our Mind Shifter group last night when discussing. Tim, was it the second half where they showed her on the basketball court and kind of doing a visual demonstration of possibility in terms of the limitlessness of possibility in terms of choice and stuff?
That's in the first part. That's in the first half of the movie.
Because as far as that goes, and we discussed this a little bit, but Michael, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on it. This is a kind of an abstract concept, so I'm trying to language it cohesively. Basically, when we're doing our forgiveness work and we're removing the barriers, the filters of fear and hostility, and if you're in a space of love, does that have the ability to create that possibility? So if you're doing your work, that you can shift the potential outcome versus doing your work, whatever is going to happen is going to happen, and you're seeing what's going to happen with love versus creating a different potential outcome.
Well, let's just look at it from the point of view of energy. You know, we listen to Einstein, and Einstein says, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy. Energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses, there is no matter. So we live in a world of energy. We don't live in a world of material substance. So if I live in a world of matter, in a world of energy that appears to be matter, that's a picture in my brain, but I'm in an energetic world. And then let's bring in Marcel Vogel that we've talked about in the past. Here's this 23-year senior scientist from IBM. I used to keynote at a conference called the Global Sciences quite regularly. And Marcel showed up one year, and he brought a camera called a Delaware camera. And with this camera, Marcel is able to take a picture of the high-energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought. So when an energy is moving in me, I'm literally sending out an energy wave that matches that energy. So if, let's say, somebody's behavior resonates rage in me, then what moves in me is rage. And now I'm spraying out the energy of rage on this person who has resonated that in me. If I spray the acid of rage on someone, do you suppose they're going to respond, generally speaking, lovingly, gently, and respectfully to me? Not very likely. If, on the other hand, I understand how the human organism works, a la Yeshua 2,000 years ago, and they say, if you want to have a human organism that expresses human life, what's the first law? What's the first thing you've got to do? And he says, you've got to have the energy or the filter called Rachma active in you. And that filter, Rachma, is a filter that allows only energy keyed to love to move in the frontal lobes of the brain, which is intentions. And intention, this is the long answer to that question. Intentions are the raw material of goals, and goals cause perceptual energy to move. If loving intentions are set and move, then loving goals move. Loving goals move loving energy. And now the energy moving in me is love, and I spray out on this person love. Do you suppose I'm going to change the outcomes in my world? Just simple physics. It's got to happen.
Okay, so Michael, do you remember, I don't remember where I heard you say this story, talking about the outcomes, okay, so going forward, where a group of people were praying for another group of people and that they changed the result, but the thing of it was is the people that were praying prayed 10 years after the event?
Well, there has been some research done in that arena, and that they are starting to show, and, you know, this is not easily understood by the mind that thinks in linear time and all, but they are showing through the principles of quantum physics, and you know, this is a can of worms I don't even know if I want to open, because, you know, most people have got enough work to do in the present moment without going to this one, but they're showing you can change events in the past, yes.
Okay.
Which seems ridiculous, because the past is already done and gone according to our mind, but that's only our perceptual mind, which does not see what's really happening. So yes, according to some of the latest quantum physics research, the past can be changed.
So, Michael, that's I can understand why it is a can of worms, and it's hard to conceptualize, but I personally had an experience that look like that, and so
cool.
If I had my own evidence, and, you know, I was trying to figure out, like, hey, well, you know, I did my work around this issue and I had the outcome that was more desirous for me, but the only way I had that future outcome was because it changed something from the past. And it was a little bit like woo, like, what's happening? And so we had a long discussion about it, and it was a lot of fun to banter because, there's a lot of mystery left. So thank you for...
There's a lot of mystery left, and the other thing is when this filter called Rachma is set, and then there's a corollary filter over perceptions. So Rachma's over intentions. There's a corollary filter over perceptions. And what you hear is in the ancient scriptures where they understood this psychology, they said perfect love casts out fear. So perfect love in Aramaic is Rachma and Kubba set. If Rachma and Kubba is set and something comes along that resonates, something based in fear or hostility in you, then by the activity, by the hostility or fear moving through the Rachma and Kubba filters, those energies, that banging around is happening again. Whoever we need to mute, if we could do that. There's a lot of bang, bang, bang coming in, happening right there. That's the noise. If we can mute whoever that is, if you can mute yourself, that would be nice. So when Rachma and Kubba are set, then what happens is when hostility or fear move through those filters, perfect love casts out fear, those energies are transmuted. Literally, the hostility and the fear energies are changed. And, you know, you've seen it happen. You've seen it happen in workshops. You've seen it happen with clients. Dr. Tim's seen it. I've seen it where people are in such rage and they can make that shift to love. And all of a sudden, they start to laugh at what they were so angry about just minutes ago. You know, one of the most common comments I've gotten back over the years when I teach why is this happening to me again, and we get down to step 6 of the worksheet, it's like, okay, so look back at the situation, number one, that you were so upset about just 20 minutes ago, and now let's look at it. And the most common comment I get is, that was just so silly. Why was there all that upset? Well, more correctly, why was there all that upset about that issue? Well, there wasn't any upset about that issue. That was just a place where the mind put its hostility or fear, and because love was set, as in step 4 in the worksheet, when that hostility or fear passed through love, it was cast out, literally transmuted and finished. And so what 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes ago looked like a really good reason to be enraged, all of a sudden it's laughable. It's like, why was I even upset about that? Well, you weren't upset about that. Your upset was just the content of your mind, and your mind was putting it on that, but it had nothing to do with that. And now that you've gone in and brought the hostility and fear action through love, it's dissolved. You're freed of it. And it is silly, the places where we put that in the past, the things that we've made so important that somebody better do or else. You know, I have this person, and I say, I honor you, I cherish you, I will love you forever, but boy, they violate one tiny infantile goal. And people can then puke on the person they say they love. It's like, how crazy is that? So it's an interesting process for sure. Is there any more thoughts on that topic, Michelle?
Dr. No, that's helpful.
Say it again.
That was helpful. You know, we had different ideas about those concepts and our ability to create and manifest. And I had brought up that part about the belief about there's all the possibilities, and from teaching laws and living in prison and knowing that the filters, you know, impact perception as well as intention, and then the results that you get if they're going to be negative or destructive. And so that's just more information, and I'm on the lookout.
You know, I've seen things change on a level that is would seem to be next to impossible. You know, you've been in the military, so you probably have some concept of how once an order comes down, that order's it. It's done, and that's the way it is. And how many mountains would you have to move to get an important order changed?
And I remember, oh, this goes back probably 25, no, it's more than that. It's before Heartland. So probably 28, 29 years ago, there was a couple that studied with me in Fort Lauderdale. And they were, he was a military trainer. And he was assigned to, they were in Fort Lauderdale, and he was wanting to go up into the Northeast, as that had asked to be transferred up in the Northeast near where his family of origin was. And they were really clear that the last place that they wanted to be posted was Pensacola, Florida. They really considered that to be the armpit of Florida. And where did their transfer take them but to Pensacola, Florida? And they had their orders. That was it. They were going to Pensacola. And they were so, so upset, seemingly about that. But that just showed them the content of their mind, the upset content of their mind. So they started doing some worksheets around it. And it took about 2 weeks. And they got a new set of orders. And they were transferred to exactly the town they wanted to move to. They're the kind of outcomes I've seen change. Worked with a woman back about 30 years ago. I did an intensive in a little town, actually at a place called Hippocrates Health Institute, or Creative Health, which is modeled after Hippocrates Health Institute. And believe it or not, a town not far from you there in Hodunk, Michigan. There's actually a town in Hodunk, Michigan. And I did an intensive there, and I was there for we had a 30-day intensive, and I went there a week or so early and had a week or so afterward. And the first event that we did, it was an open Y workshop, and a couple of guards from prison in Coldwater, Michigan came. And it was a medium security prison, and it was a women's prison. And there was a woman there who had killed her husband, crime of passion. She was being abused, but they gave her 20, I don't remember exactly, 20 or 25 years. And she was pregnant when she went into prison. And her son was, at the time I went there, 6 years of age. She'd seen him once in 6 years. Her parents were older, and they lived several hours away, and they just couldn't come to visit her. And she had petitioned for a transfer. And they were like, lady, you murdered a man. You're not leaving. You're not going anywhere. You're staying here for 20 years. The first week of the 6-week series of workshops, she started doing worksheets around that issue. And the last week we were there, the 6th week, she had her transfer papers to that minimum security facility in the town where her parents and her son were. And I'm still in communication with the guards. There was a man and his wife, and the gentleman was the intake officer for that prison. And from that point until he retired just a few years ago, every person who came through the introduction process got a worksheet and was told where the book and the tapes were. Start to work on this. And the woman kept touch with this woman who was transferred to the medium security facility, or the lower security facility in the town where her child was. And she completed a degree as a counselor and was now working with prisoners and supporting them in healing. So can we change outcomes? You sure can. And, of course, I could go on for years with stories of outcomes I've seen change, but there's some of the more potent examples that I've seen. How about you, Dr. Tim? You ever see somebody change an outcome using a worksheet? Ever had one of those change for you?
Many, many times.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it to me, it doesn't matter how many people want to argue about whether what's in the what the bleep movies is pseudoscience or real science, whether there really is such a thing as bilocating or multiple location particles, and whether or not events in the future can affect the past, et cetera. What counts for me is when I do worksheets, when I do the breathing and tapping work, when I do the mind shifters, and I empty out the garbage out of my mind and my life gets better, people can have all the theoretical arguments they want. Bless their hearts. I hope they enjoy it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what leads me oftentimes. As you've heard me say, don't believe a word I'm saying. Please, don't believe it. Take it, put it to work, watch what happens. You'll have an experience, and when you have that experience, nobody will be able to take it away from you. There'll be lots of people that will argue with you and say, well, that's not possible. It's like, excuse me, it just happened. I now know that it's possible. And it's interesting, in the medical world, oftentimes we'll hear physicians say things like, well, that's just not possible. And yet they're saying that's not possible to something that they just saw happen. And yet the thought system is threatened, and the thought system that certain things are not possible must be true. And so a person will actually see something occur. They'll experience it, and they'll still stand there and say, well, that can't happen. It's like, well, obviously it happened. Why don't we change our thought system to understand why and how it happened instead of sitting around insisting that it's not possible? And so that's our invitation, is to recognize what's really possible is beyond what anyone has ever imagined. The level of truth and the level of power in each one of us to make changes in our lives is beyond comprehension. And so that's what we're here to support. Can we check
Michael?
And see if we've got a caller? Yes.
No, Julie from Ashland is on the phone. Hello, Julie. How are you
today? Cool. Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
I'm good. Hello. How are you?
We are good.
Can you hear me?
Good. Having an awesome time in Asheville, North Carolina, and looking forward tonight. We're doing What is the World, and we're going to get a video of it. We just finished last night. We did two sessions. Dale and I did two hour evenings on Aramaicisms, and the guy who was doing the videoing, you know, it was a 5-camera shoot, so it was pretty incredible. And
wow,
his take was, what he shared with us after the first night, he took the footage home and reviewed it, and he said that Dale and I look like rock stars. So I look forward to seeing the footage and how it all comes out.
Oh.
I've never been called
so
a rock star
excited.
Before, so hey. Yes, I am too. I am
okay, well, I'll write
phenomenal.
The music. I'll write the music, and you guys can do the dance.
Cool.
So that is so exciting, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been meaning to say I'm grateful in advance for you two putting this together, and also for you doing the What is the World video. I'm looking so forward to all of these. So thanks, because I know they'll be great. How can we not trust that?
You're welcome.
So, yeah. I wanted to thank you and Dr. Tim for talking about the What the Bleep Do We Know Down the Rabbit Hole. I've seen the first movie, but I've not seen the second one. And coupled with what Dr. Tim mentioned that you teach about when one file is triggered, if it's linked up to another file, then they both start resonating. I forgot that. I don't know if I ever took that in from your teachings. And I don't know if you remember which video you actually focused on that with, but that alleviates
well,
a lot for me.
Well, I actually say it over and over. I actually say it over and over again. And if you go back to think about the example of the purple alligator, that's
oh.
what I speak of that, where I invite people. I talk about the file folder effect. And don't think
okay.
about a purple alligator. And point out that in the future now, if I said don't think about a purple, what would resonate in your mind? It would obviously be alligator. So you probably remember that. You just didn't remember.
I do
yeah.
remember.
Cool.
Yeah, but I never listened to it that way. And so when I'm listening, sometimes I'm not paying attention. I'm going, oh, I already heard that before. So this is very good to catch for me because I think this is part of the way I confuse myself when I'm triggered. I know you've heard me say recently how I can't find it when I can't find that trigger when I go to do a worksheet. And so now if I just do whatever's, instead of hunting that one down, if I do whatever is presenting itself, it might not seem as intense, but it's the cover-up or it's a link of some sort, and that will get me to the root. So, or one, you know, closer. So that, you know, it's like a primary trigger and a secondary trigger, and then, of course, all the generations. There's a billion secondary triggers, I guess. So thank you. Thank you for that. And I'm going to watch
the rabbit hole. Yeah.
Remember
that the idea is not the old psychotherapeutic model of you lay on the couch for 25 years and look for the deep, dark, dirty thing that happened to you. And then everything is okay in your life. You just walk forward in your life as love. You take each step. Mm-hmm. Committed to being the active presence of love. And when life resonates something that's less than love, then you engage in forgiveness and you let that go. And you let it go and you let it go and you let it go. And finally, there's nothing that can bring up that which is less than loving you.
Uh-huh.
And then you get to live a truly human life 24/7, 365.
Okay, good. Oh, man, the clues are just so unraveling right now. Here's an example. Yesterday I knew I wasn't in love. I wasn't feeling in the space of love, and I did ask Holy Spirit to help me get there. I at least did that. But I noticed I was projecting anger, and for example, on my dog. I didn't hurt him, no harm done, but the energy was not right, and I haven't been good with him for about a week. And I... somebody's just walking into my door, into my home.
So a dog can make you mad.
I'm on the phone.
Don't worry.
So Michael, where I'm going with this is I did catch that, but one of the thoughts I had was, wow, how easily did I switch into that, this contents in me that could be angry at a dog? And I wondered where that came from. And instead of wondering through my own bloodline, which I am now going to do, I wondered just in general, how is it that people can be so cruel to animals and just think that it's okay to project onto them like that? You know, so that's where I was going with my own, you know, awareness. Okay, so I just wanted to say that this is amazing. This is so amazing how things can just open up and give us insight. And, you know, I've been already clearing out that anger, and I've been talking to my dog and just saying, I'm healing, and this is not, you know, what's true between us is I love you, and, you know. But my dog is very keen and very aware, and so even if I just look at him and I know that we're not congruent in love, I mean, my dog gives me the look, right? And I just know, okay, let's get back to love. So anyway,
that's the idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Well, I think I'm done for now. And have a great video tonight, a great workshop. The video will just happen along with it. And thank you again.
All right, it's in the plan. Blessings.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All righty. Bye bye. So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question or a thought for us, we'd love to hear your voice. Push 1, and you're in the phone queue. And we'll be chatting about it.
Michael, I think Rex got my EFT message. I'd want him to weigh in because this was part of his discussion. Hi, Rex.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, Michael. Hi, Dr. Tim.
Hey there, good sir. Welcome. How do
awesome
you be?
Program. I'm really enjoying the conversation. I'm doing great. I had a comment specifically, not so much about what we were talking about last night, Michelle. That was good. I appreciate it. Our group was cool. We had a good time. It was very interactive. We did some good healing work and some forgiveness work and breathing and so on and so forth. What I was going to comment on, what a great moment in time to bring forth what you have taught over and over again, and Tim and all of us, really, it's so important, and that is this. How we can listen to something over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden we have the connection. There's that noise again. We have the connections that fire, and then all of a sudden we hear it. Just like what Julie said, it was so cool because that is such a basic and foundational piece of your work. But what happened was she had enough vitality, she had enough of the activity that's taking place in her mind and her brain cells were firing, and then all of a sudden, boom, she had the realization of what it was that, you know, she was experiencing in the moment that you've been teaching that she hadn't heard, quote, she thought she hadn't heard. So it's just really exciting to have that be such a beautiful example of how important it is to stay with the material, to stay with the teachings and keep opening more and more and allow the truth to be revealed, because that piece on blockage of truth sure does play a real important role in us not hearing what's being shared and what's being taught in so many different ways. It isn't just through teachings, like with you or Tim or anyone else. It's just common communication. And I thought it was just such a poignant example of what you share over and over again, Michael. It was great. I just thought it was important to bring it forth as an example.
Cool. Awesome. That is definitely at the core of it. You know, you go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago. He says, you got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And the folks who are supposedly practicing what he taught and talking about him as though they have the full understanding of him, yet are still functioning out of hostility and fear. He says, those who hearing do not hear, those who seeing do not see. You've got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, which means you got to have the brain cells. And without them, there is no listening except to the content of our own minds. And that's the challenge, is to get past the contents of our minds into the truth of what's being offered. And it's usually different than what most people hear. It's just part of the process of waking up.
Michael, we have one more caller been on hold.
Cool, let's say hello.
Sure, it's 781.
I'm actually, Michelle, I'm good. I'm complete, so I'm going to go back on mute, and that was what I wanted to share. So thank you, everybody.
Cool, thanks.
781.
Hi, Michael. It's Ron from Massachusetts.
Hey there, good sir. How do you be?
I be well. Thank you.
Good.
Congratulations on your videos and your workshops. I'm excited for the product of that. I called
so am
because,
I.
Yeah, I bet. I called because, and I hope it will benefit others that are listening, to talk about a little bit of logistics and ask you about your plans looking at schedules for example, Food, Fun, and Forgiveness, I believe is the name of your first program at Heartland this summer.
Right.
I have the name right? And
that's,
I was wondering,
yeah,
I believe it starts on a Friday, and I'm wondering, are you plan what your if you have a plan? It's like, are you going to do the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop on the Friday night? You know, can you give me any insight into what you'll be presenting, if anything, during those days?
Well, basically, what we do is we do work projects during the day,
yeah,
and then at night we'll do workshops. So we'll do a whole series of things, which will include the Why Is This Happening to Me Again. Will that happen on Friday night? I don't know. It's a very organic process, but that will be covered during that 10 days, yes. And on Saturday,
okay,
what is scheduled is that we'll be doing still point breathing.
On the end of
but
the
otherwise,
end of
it's
the,
pretty organic.
Okay. And there are, but there are, you are doing teaching each evening.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's what we'll do each evening. That's part of it. Work projects during the day to get the property ready, and then evening classes.
Yes. I knew about it. I think the work projects are great, and I think that'll be fun use of our energy if we are able to go there. What about the 9-day? Why is this happening to me again? What does the Friday look like? Does the Friday start with a workshop, or is it just like getting to know each other?
No, Friday. Friday evening depends on arrivals. No, we never do the why workshop on Friday night. That will be later in the workshop. Friday night is usually dinner and just a very light evening because people have been traveling. And so it'll just be introductions and then the personal code evaluation and step into the workshops as they unfold. Again, it's an organic process. I don't know what day we'll do the why workshop or what days. I've done 9-day intensives where it took 7 days to do the why workshop. So it's pretty organic.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's really all I call for at this point. And we'll go back to listening.
All right. Cool. Blessings.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
So 646-200-4169. Let's see. We're down to about 4 minutes, 3 minutes. So time is running out.
I know time.
Is there another hand up?
Magda's here. Yeah, she just wants to say hi.
Oh, let's say hello to Magda. Hey there, young lady. Hello, Magda.
No, this is Jim.
Oh, James. How are you, sir?
Yeah, real quick. At our support group meeting last night, we got into a discussion about the subconscious and the conscious and what have you. And an example of how powerful the subconscious is came up in my memory. And it goes back many, many years ago. When I was 40 years old, and I'm now 72, I quit smoking. And 8 years after having had my last cigarette, my wife and I walked into a restaurant, sat down, and a couple minutes later she said to me, she said, "Do you realize what you just did?" I had no idea what she was talking about. I said, "No, what?" She said, "We sat down, you looked at the table, stood up, walked over to another table, picked up an ashtray, and set it down." And I looked, and I had no awareness of having done that. It was just absolutely, totally subconscious driven, and it's just a really good example for me of the power of that subconscious. And that's all I want to add. Hopefully it'll benefit somebody.
Good point. And actually that would be the power of the unconscious, those unconscious dynamics. If it were unconscious, I wouldn't have, even when somebody brought it forward. Subconscious,
gotcha.
I'm aware of. It's unconscious dynamics that drive behavior. And you know, it's interesting, the Aramaic language has a suffix, O-O-T-A, that you added to a word in Aramaic, and it means that my perception, my decisions, and my behavior are driven from the unconscious level. And that would be, that's a powerful example of it. Some trigger hits those brain cells fire, and here I am, just right back in those old brain cells running me without awareness. So powerful.
We look forward to your return next week.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to getting back there for sure.
Terrific. Blessings.
All right. Blessings. Lots of love, Jim. Thank you. All right. So we're down to the last minute or so. So I'll just say thank you for joining us and bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. If you happen to be in Asheville, North Carolina, then please come and join us this evening and the next two evenings. Tonight we're going to do What is the World from A Course in Miracles. Tomorrow night, Healing Through Relationships, and Friday night, Codependence to Interdependence, all free open workshops. We're at the Center for Art and Spirit at St. George's Church. And then on Saturday, we'll be doing Mind Shifters and Soul Point Breathing. And on Sunday, we'll be down in Flat Rock, North Carolina, at a place called the Namaste Center, doing their Sunday service. And why is this happening to me again? So we'll look forward to seeing you. Have a blessed day. Give the world an awesome gift. Give them the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.